Chapter 33, Pistons, Rings, and Connecting Rods. Pistons. Purpose and function: all engine power is developed by burning fuel mixed with air in the combustion chamber. Heat from the combustion causes the burned gas to increase in pressure. The force of this pressure is converted into useful work through the piston, connecting rod, and crankshaft. Therefore, the piston serves three purposes. 1. Transfers force. The piston transfers the force of combustion to the crankshaft through the connecting rod. 2. Seals the combustion chamber. The piston and piston ring seal the compressed air during the compression stroke and the combustion gases on the power stroke. 3. Conducts heat. The piston transfers heat from the combustion chamber to the cylinder walls through the piston rings and to the engine oil through the piston. Parts involved: the piston forms a movable bottom to the combustion chamber. See Figure 33.1. The piston is attached to the connecting rod with a piston pin, also called a wrist pin. The piston pin is allowed to have a rocking movement because of a swivel joint at the piston end of the connecting rod. The crankshaft changes the up and down, or reciprocating, motion of the pistons into rotary motion. The connecting rod is connected to a part of the crankshaft called a crank throw, crank pin, or connecting rod bearing journal. Piston rings seal the small space between the piston and cylinder wall, keeping the pressure above the piston. When the pressure builds up in the combustion chamber, it pushes on the piston. The piston, in turn, pushes on the piston pin and upper end of the connecting rod. The lower end of the connecting rod pushes on the crank throw. This provides the force to turn the crankshaft. Refer to Figure 33.1. The piston seals the bottom of the combustion chamber and is attached to a connecting rod. As the crankshaft turns, it develops inertia. Inertia is the force that causes the crankshaft to continue rotating. This action brings the piston back to its original position, where it is ready for the next power stroke. While the engine is running, the combustion cycle keeps repeating as the piston reciprocates, moves up and down, and the crankshaft rotates. Piston operation: when the engine is running, the piston starts at the top of the cylinder. As it moves downward, it accelerates until it reaches a maximum velocity slightly before it is halfway down. The piston comes to a stop at the bottom of the cylinder at 180 degrees of crankshaft rotation. During the next 180 degrees of crankshaft rotation, the piston moves upward. It accelerates to reach a maximum velocity slightly above the halfway point, and comes to a stop at the top of the stroke. Thus, the piston starts, accelerates, and stops twice in each crankshaft revolution. Note: a typical piston in an engine operating at 4000 rpm accelerates from 0 to 60 miles per hour, or 97 kilometers per hour, in about 0.004 of a second, or 4 milliseconds, as it travels about halfway down the cylinder. This reciprocating action of the piston produces large inertia forces. Inertia is the force that causes a part that is stopped to stay stopped, or a part that is in motion to stay in motion. The lighter the piston can be made, the less inertia force that is developed. Less inertia allows higher engine operating speeds. For this reason, pistons are made to be as light as possible, while still having the strength that is needed. The piston operates with its top or head exposed to the hot combustion gases, whereas the skirt contacts the relatively cool cylinder wall. This results in a temperature difference of about 275 degrees Fahrenheit, or 135 degrees Celsius, between the top and bottom of the piston. Piston construction. Piston ring grooves. Piston ring grooves are located between the piston head and skirt. The width of the grooves, the width of the lands between the ring grooves, and the number of rings are major factors in determining minimum piston height. The outside diameter of the lands is about 0.02 to 0.04 of an inch, or 0.5 to 1 millimeter, smaller than the skirt diameter. See Figure 33.2. See Figure 33.3 for an example of how to measure the diameter of a piston. Cast pistons. Cast aluminum pistons usually are made using gravity die casting. In this process, molten aluminum alloy and about 10% silicon are poured into a mold. The silicon is used to increase the strength and help control the expansion of the piston when it gets hot. Other metals used in the aluminum alloy include copper, nickel, manganese, and magnesium. See Figure 33.4. Figure 33.2, all pistons share the same parts in common. Figure 33.3, a piston diameter is measured across the thrust surfaces. Tech tip: piston weight is important. All pistons in an engine should weigh the same to help ensure a balanced engine. Piston weight becomes a factor when changing pistons. Most aluminum pistons range in weight from 10 to 30 ounces, or 280 to 850 grams, note that 1 ounce equals 28.35 grams. A typical paper clip weighs 1 gram. If the cylinder has been bored, larger replacement pistons are obviously required. If the replacement pistons weigh more, this puts additional inertia loads on the rod bearings. Therefore, to help prevent rod bearing failure on an overhauled engine, the replacement pistons should not weigh more than the original pistons. Caution: some less expensive replacement cast pistons or high-performance forged pistons are much heavier than the stock pistons, even in the stock bore size. This means that the crankshaft may need heavy metal added to the counterweights of the crankshaft for the engine to be balanced. For the same reason, if one piston is being replaced, all pistons should be replaced, or at least checked and corrected, to ensure the same weight. Hyperotectic pistons: a standard cast aluminum piston contains about 9% to 12% silicon and is called a eutectic piston. To add strength, the silicon content is increased to about 16%, and the resulting piston is called a hyperotectic piston. Other advantages of a hyperotectic piston are its 25% weight reduction and lower expansion rate. The disadvantage of hyperotectic pistons is their higher cost, because they are more difficult to cast and machine. Hyperotectic pistons are commonly used in the aftermarket and as original equipment in many turbocharged and supercharged engines. Figure 33.4, a cast piston showing the sprues which were used to fill the mold with molten aluminum alloy. Forged pistons: high-performance engines need pistons with added strength. Forged pistons have a dense grain structure and are very strong, so are often used in turbocharged or supercharged engines. Because forged pistons are less porous than cast pistons, they conduct heat more quickly. Forged pistons generally run about 20% cooler than cast pistons. See Figure 33.5. Piston head designs: because the piston head forms a portion of the combustion chamber, its shape is vital to the combustion process. Many newer engines have flat-top pistons. Some of these flat-top pistons come so close to the cylinder head that recesses are cut in the piston top for valve clearance. Refer to Figure 33.5. The top of the piston temperature can be 100 degrees Fahrenheit, or 38 degrees Celsius, lower on a forged piston compared to a cast piston. Refer to Figure 33.6. Valve reliefs are used to provide valve clearance. Pistons used in high-powered engines may have raised domes or pop-ups on the piston heads. These are used to increase the compression ratio. Pistons used in other engines may be provided with a depression or a dish. The varying depths of the dish provide different compression ratios required by different engine models. Note: newer engines do not use valve reliefs because this requires the thickness of the top of the piston be increased to provide the necessary strength. The thicker the top of the piston, the lower down from the top piston ring sits. To reduce unburned hydrocarbon or HC exhaust emissions, engineers attempt to place the top piston ring as close to the top of the piston as possible to prevent the unburned fuel from being trapped, and not burned, between the top of the piston and the top piston ring. Recesses machined or cast into the tops of the pistons for valve clearance are commonly called eyebrows, valve reliefs, and valve pockets. The depth of the eyebrows has a major effect on the compression ratio and is necessary to provide clearance for the valves if the timing belt or chain of an overhead camshaft engine should break. Without the eyebrows, the pistons could hit the valves near TDC if the valves are not operating, closing, because of non-rotation of the camshaft. An engine that is designed not to have the pistons hitting the valves if the timing belt or chain breaks is called freewheeling. See Figure 33.6. Slipper skirt pistons: a slipper skirt design piston is shorter on the two sides that are not thrust surfaces. Advantages of using a slipper skirt design include: lighter weight, allows for a shorter overall engine height, because the crankshaft counterweights can be closer to the piston when they are at the bottom of the stroke, or most engines today use a slipper skirt piston design. Chem ground pistons: aluminum pistons expand when they get hot. A method of expansion control was devised using a chem ground piston skirt. With this design, the piston thrust surfaces closely fit the cylinder, and the piston pin boss diameter is fitted loosely. As the chem ground piston is heated, it expands along the piston pin so that it becomes nearly round at its normal operating temperatures. A chem ground piston skirt is illustrated in Figure 33.7. Figure 33.7, piston cam shape. The largest diameter is across the thrust surfaces and perpendicular to the piston pin, labeled A. Piston finish: the finish on piston skirts varies with the manufacturer, but all are designed to help reduce scuffing. Scuffing is a condition where the metal of the piston actually contacts the cylinder wall. When the piston stops at the top of the cylinder, weld or transfer of metal from one part to the other can take place. Scuffing can be reduced by coating the piston skirts with tin 0.0005 of an inch, or 0.0125 mm, thick or moly graphite coating. See Figure 33.8. Piston head size. The top or head of the piston is smaller in diameter than the rest of the piston. The top of the piston is exposed to the most heat, and therefore, tends to expand more than the rest of the piston. See Figure 33.9. Most pistons have horizontal separation slots that act as heat dams. These slots reduce heat transfer from the hot piston head to the lower skirt. This, in turn, keeps the skirt temperature lower to reduce skirt expansion. Because the slot is placed in the oil ring groove, it can be used for oil drain back and expansion control. Figure 33.8, a moly graphite coating on this piston from a General Motors 3800 V6 engine helps to prevent piston scuffing. Figure 33.9, the head of the piston is smaller in diameter than the skirt of the piston to allow it to expand when the engine is running. Piston strut inserts, a major development in expansion control occurred when the piston aluminum was cast around two stiff steel struts. The struts add strength to the piston in the piston pin area where additional strength is needed. The struts help control thermal expansion. Pistons with steel strut inserts allow good piston to cylinder wall clearance at normal temperatures. At the same time, they allow the cold operating clearance to be as small as 0.0005 of an inch, or 0.0127 mm. This small clearance prevents cold piston slap and noise. A typical piston expansion control strut is visible in Figure 33.10. Figure 33.10, steel struts cast inside the piston help control expansion and add strength to the piston pin area. Figure 33.11, most piston pins are hollow to reduce weight and have a straight bore. Some pins have a tapered bore to reinforce the pin. Piston pins. Terminology: piston pins are used to attach the piston to the connecting rod. Piston pins are also known as wrist pins or gudgeon pins, a British term. The piston pin transfers the force produced by combustion chamber pressures and piston inertia to the connecting rod. The piston pin is made from high-quality steel in the shape of a tube to make it both strong and light. Sometimes, the interior hole of the piston pin is tapered, so it is large at the ends and small in the middle of the pin. This gives the pin strength that is proportional to the location of the load placed on it. A double taper hole, such as this, is more expensive to manufacture, so it is used only where its weight advantage merits the extra cost. See Figure 33.11. Piston pin offset. Some piston pin holes are not centered in the piston. They are located toward the major thrust surface, approximately 0.062 of an inch, or 1.57 mm, from the piston center line, as shown in Figure 33.12. Pin offset is designed to reduce piston slap and the noise that can result as the large end of the connecting rod crosses over top dead center. Minor thrust. The minor thrust side of the piston head has a greater area than the major side. This is caused by the pin offset. As the piston moves up in the cylinder on the compression stroke, it rides against the minor thrust surface. When compression pressure becomes high enough, the greater head area on the minor side causes the piston to cock slightly in the cylinder. This keeps the top of the minor thrust surface on the cylinder. It forces the bottom of the major thrust surface to contact the cylinder wall. As the piston approaches top center, both thrust surfaces are in contact with the cylinder wall. Major thrust. When the crankshaft crosses over top center, the force on the connecting rod moves the entire piston toward the major thrust surface. The lower portion of the major thrust surface has already been in contact with the cylinder wall. The rest of the piston skirt slips into full contact just after the crossover point, thereby controlling piston slap. This action is illustrated in Figure 33.13. Offsetting the piston toward the minor thrust surface provides a better mechanical advantage. It also causes less piston to cylinder friction, and increases piston noise. For these reasons, the offset is often placed toward the minor thrust surface in racing engines. Noise and durability are not as important in racing engines as maximum performance. Note, not all piston pins are offset. In fact, many engines operate without the offset to help reduce friction and improve power and fuel economy. Refer to Figure 33.12, piston pin offset toward the major thrust surface. Frequently asked question. Which side is the major thrust side? The thrust side is the side the rod points to when the piston is on the power stroke. Any V-block engine, V6 or V8, that rotates clockwise is viewed from the front of the engine. The left bank piston thrust side faces the inside, or center, of the engine. The right bank piston thrust side faces the outside of the block. This rule, called the left-hand rule, states the following. Stand at the rear of the engine and point toward the front of the engine with your left hand. Raise your thumb straight up, indicating the top of the engine. Point your other fingers toward the right. This represents the major thrust side of the piston. Always assemble the connecting rods onto the rods, so that the notch or F on the piston is pointing toward the front of the engine and the oil squirt hole on the connecting rod is pointing toward the major thrust side with your left hand. Refer to Figure 33.13, engine rotation and rod angle during the power stroke cause the piston to press harder against one side of the cylinder. Called the major thrust surface. Piston pin fit, the finish and size of piston pins are closely controlled. Piston pins have a smooth, mirror-like finish. Their size is held to tens of thousandths of an inch so that exact fits can be maintained. If the piston pin is loose in the piston or in the connecting rod, it makes a sound while the engine is running. This is often described as a double knock. The noise is created when the piston stops at top dead center and occurs again as it starts to move downward, creating a double knock or rattling sound. If the piston pin is too tight in the piston, it restricts piston expansion along the pin diameter and lead to piston scuffing. Normal piston pin clearances range from 0.0005 to 0.0007 of an inch, or 0.0126 to 0.018 millimeters. Piston pin retaining methods. Full floating piston pins are free to float in the connecting rod and the piston. Often, a bronze bushing is installed in the small end of the connecting rod to support the piston pin. Full floating pins require a retaining device to keep the piston pin from moving endwise and scrape against the cylinder wall. Most full floating piston pins use some type of lock ring to retain the piston pin. There are two common types of lock rings. One is an internal snap ring that fits into a groove in the piston pin bore. These internal snap rings or circle clips are commonly called circlips. The other is a spiral lock ring, which is a wound flat ring with two or three layers made from hardened steel. The spiral lock is inserted into a groove cut into the piston pin bore by starting with the bottom layer and twisting the spiral ring into place until all layers are in the groove. Full floating piston pins are most often used in high-performance modified engines and in diesel engines. See Figure 33.14. Some engines use aluminum or plastic plugs in both ends of the piston pin. These plugs touch the cylinder wall without scoring, to hold the piston pin centered in the piston. Refer to Figure 33.14, circlips hold full floating piston pins in place. Interference fit, another method of retaining the piston pin in the connecting rod is to make the connecting rod hole slightly smaller than the piston pin. The pin is installed by heating the rod to expand the hole or by pressing the pin into the rod. This retaining method securely holds the pin. See Figure 33.15. This press or shrink fit is called an interference fit. Care must be taken to have the correct hole sizes, and the pin must be centered in the connecting rod. Because the interference fit method is the least expensive to use, it is found in the majority of engines. Piston rings. Purpose and function. Piston rings serve several major functions in engines. They form a sliding combustion chamber seal that prevents the high-pressure combustion gases from leaking past the piston. They keep engine oil from getting into the combustion chamber. The rings transfer some of the piston heat to the cylinder wall, where it is removed from the engine through the cooling system. See Figure 33.16. Refer to Figure 33.15, a typical interference fit piston pin. Classifications: piston rings are classified into two types. 1. Two compression rings, located toward the top of the piston, and 2. One oil control ring, located below the compression rings. Note, some engines, such as Honda High Fuel Economy engines, use pistons with only two rings, one compression ring and one oil control ring. Case study. Big problem, no noise. Sometimes the piston pin can walk off the center of the piston and score the cylinder wall. This scoring is often not noticed because this type of wear does not create noise. Because the piston pin is below the piston rings, little combustion pressure is lost past the rings until the groove worn by the piston pin has worn the piston rings. Troubleshooting the exact cause of the increased oil consumption is difficult because the damage done to the oil control rings by the groove usually affects only one cylinder. Often, compression tests indicate good compression because of the cylinder seals, especially at the top. More than one technician has been surprised to see the cylinder gouged by a piston pin when the cylinder head has been removed for service. In such a case, the cost of the engine repair immediately increases far beyond that of normal cylinder head service. Summary. The complaint: engine was burning oil yet the compression was good, leading the technician to remove the head. The cause: a piston pin had moved and scored the cylinder wall. The correction: the engine was replaced to correct the oil burning concern. Refer to Figure 33.16, the rings conduct heat from the piston to the cylinder wall. Compression rings: a compression ring is designed to form a seal between the moving piston and the cylinder wall. This is necessary to get maximum power from the combustion pressure. At the same time, the compression ring must keep friction at a minimum. This is made possible by providing only enough static or built-in mechanical tension to hold the ring in contact with the cylinder wall during the intake stroke. Combustion chamber pressure during the compression, power, and exhaust strokes is applied to the top and back of the ring. This pressure adds extra force on the ring that is required to seal the combustion chamber during these strokes. Figure 33.17 illustrates how the combustion chamber pressure adds force to the ring. The space in the ring groove above the ring is called the side clearance and the space behind the ring is called the back clearance. See Figure 33.18. Oil control rings: the scraping action of the oil control ring allows oil to return through the expander and openings in the piston. Refer to Figure 33.17, combustion chamber pressure forces the ring against the cylinder wall and the bottom of the ring groove to effectively seal the cylinder. Refer to Figure 33.18. The side and back clearances must be correct for the compression rings to seal properly. Refer to Figure 33.19. This typical three-piece oil control ring uses a hump-type stainless steel spacer expander. The expander separates the two steel rails and presses them against the cylinder wall. Steel spring expanders were placed in the ring groove behind the ring to improve static radial tension. They force the ring to conform to the cylinder wall. Many expander designs are used. On the three-piece ring, a spacer expander lies between the top and bottom rails. The spacer expander keeps the rails separated and pushes them out against the cylinder wall. See Figure 33.19. Ring gap: the piston ring gap allows some leakage past the top compression ring. This leakage is useful in providing pressure on the second ring to develop a dynamic sealing force. The amount of piston ring gap is critical. Too much gap: a ring gap that is too great allows excessive blowby. Blowby is the leakage of combustion gases past the rings and blows oil from the cylinder wall. This oil loss is followed by piston ring scuffing. Too little gap: a ring gap that is too little allows the piston ring ends to touch together when the engine is hot. Ring end touching increases the mechanical force against the cylinder wall, causing excessive wear and possible engine failure. A butt-type piston ring gap is the most common type used in automotive engines. Some low-speed industrial engines and some diesel engines use a more expensive tapered or seal-cut ring gap. These gaps are necessary to reduce losses of the high-pressure combustion gases. At low speeds, the gases have more time to leak through the gap. Typical ring gaps are illustrated in Figure 33.20. Refer to Figure 33.20, typical piston ring gaps. Refer to Figure 33.21, the taper face ring provides oil control by scraping the cylinder wall. This style of ring must be installed right side up or the ring does not seal and oil is drawn into the combustion chamber. Piston ring shapes: as engine speeds have increased, inertia forces on the piston rings have also increased. As a result, engine manufacturers have found it desirable to reduce inertia forces on the rings by reducing their weight. This has been done by reducing the thickness of the piston ring from 14 of an inch, or 6 millimeters, to as little as 116 of an inch, or 1.6 millimeters. There are several types of piston rings. A taper face ring contacts the cylinder wall at the lower edge of the piston ring. See Figure 33.21. When either a chamfer or counterbore relief is made on the upper inside corner of the piston ring, the ring cross section is unbalanced, causing the ring to twist in the groove in a positive direction. A positive twist ring gives the same wall contact as the taper face ring. It also provides a line contact seal on the bottom side of the groove. Sometimes, a twist and a taper face are used on the same compression ring. Some second rings are notched on the outer lower corner. This, too, provides a positive ring twist. The sharp, lower outer corner becomes a scraper that helps in oil control, but this type of ring has less compression control than the preceding types. A reverse twist ring is produced by chamfering the ring's lower inner corner. This seals the lower outer section of the ring and piston ring groove, thus improving oil control. Reverse twist rings require a greater taper face or barrel face to maintain the desired ring face to cylinder wall contact. See Figure 33.22. Refer to Figure 33.22. Torsional twist rings provide better compression, sealing, and oil control than regular taper rings. Refer to Figure 33.23. Scraper type rings provide improved oil control. Another style of positive twist ring has a counter bore at the lower outside edge. See Figure 33.23. A scraper ring does a good job of oil control and is usually recommended for use at the second compression ring. A barrel face ring can replace the outer ring taper on some rings. The barrel is 0.0003 inch per 0.1 inch, 0.0076 millimeters per 0.254 millimeters of piston ring width. Barrel faces are found on rectangular rings and on torsionally twisted rings. See Figure 33.24. Piston ring construction. Piston ring materials. The first piston rings were made with a simple rectangular cross section, modified with tapers, chamfers, counterbores, slots, rails, and expanders. Piston ring materials can include plain cast iron, pearlitic cast iron, nodular cast iron, steel, or ductile iron. This is also used as a piston ring material in some automotive engines, which is very flexible and can be twisted without breaking. Refer to Figure 33.24. The upper barrel face ring has a line showing contact with the cylinder wall. The second taper face ring shows contact along the lower edge of the ring. Chromium piston rings. A chromium facing on cast iron rings greatly increases piston ring life, especially where abrasive materials are present in the air. During manufacture, the chromium plated ring is slightly chamfered at the outer corners. About 0.004 inch, 0.01 millimeters, of chrome is then plated on the ring face. Chromium faced rings are then prelapped or honed before they are packaged and shipped to the customer. The finished chromium facing is shown in a sectional view in Figure 33.25. Molybdenum piston rings. Early in the 1960s, molybdenum piston ring faces were introduced. These rings proved to have good service life, especially under scuffing conditions. The plasma method is a spray method used to deposit molybdenum on cast iron to produce a long-wearing and low-friction piston ring. The plasma method involves an electric arc plasma, ionized gas, that generates an extremely high temperature to melt the molybdenum and spray deposit a molten powder of it onto a piston ring. Therefore, plasma rings are molybdenum, moly, rings that have the moly coating applied by the plasma method. Most molybdenum face piston rings have a groove that is 0.004 to 0.008 of an inch, or 0.1 to 0.2 millimeters, deep cut into the ring face. This groove is filled with molybdenum, using a metallic, or plasma, spray method, so that there is a cast iron edge above and below the molybdenum. This edge may be chamfered in some applications. A sectional view of a molybdenum face ring is shown in Figure 33.26. Molybdenum face piston rings survive under high temperature and scuffing conditions better than chromium face rings. Under abrasive wear conditions, chromium face rings have a better service life. There is little measurable difference between these two facing materials with respect to blowby, oil control, break-in, and horsepower. Piston rings with either of these two types of facings are far better than plain cast iron rings with phosphorus coatings. A molybdenum face ring, when used, is found in the top groove, and a plain cast iron or chromium face ring is found in the second groove. Refer to Figure 33.25. The chrome facing on this compression ring is about 0.004 of an inch, or 0.10 millimeters, thick. Refer to Figure 33.26. The moly facing on this compression ring is about 0.005 inch, 0.13 millimeters, thick. Moly chrome carbide rings. Rings with moly chrome carbide coating are also used in some original equipment and replacement applications. The coating has properties that include the hardness of the chrome and carbide combined with the heat resistance of molybdenum. Ceramic coated rings. The ceramic coated ring surface is created by applying a ceramic coating to the ring using a process called physical vapor deposition. Ceramic coated rings are also being used where additional heat resistance is needed, such as in some heavy duty, turbocharged, or supercharged engines. For example, the General Motors Duramax 6.6-liter diesel engine uses ceramic-coated rings. Connecting rods. Purpose and function. The connecting rod transfers the force and reciprocating motion of the piston to the crankshaft. The small end of the connecting rod reciprocates with the piston. The large end rotates with the crank pin. See Figure 33.27. These dynamic motions make it desirable to keep the connecting rod as light as possible, while still having a rigid beam section. See Figure 33.28. Connecting rods are manufactured by casting, forging, and powdered, sintered, metal processes. Refer to Figure 3327. The connecting rod is the most highly stressed part of any engine because combustion pressure tries to compress it and piston inertia tries to pull it apart. Refer to Figure 3328. The I-beam shape is the most common, top connecting rod, but the H-beam shape is common in high performance and racing engine applications. Connecting rod design: the big end of the connecting rod must be a perfect circle. Once a rod and cap are initially machined, they must remain a matched set, due to the precise machining required to obtain a perfect circle. Therefore, the rod caps must not be interchanged. Assembly bolt holes are closely reamed in both the cap and connecting rod to ensure alignment. The connecting rod bolts have piloting surfaces that closely fit these reamed holes. The fit of the connecting rod bolts is so tight that a press must be used to remove the bolts when they are to be replaced, as shown in Figure 3329. In some engines, offset connecting rods provide the most economical distribution of main bearing space and crankshaft cheek clearance. Many connecting rods are made with balancing bosses, pads, so that their weight can be adjusted to specifications. Refer to Figure 3329. Rod bolts are quickly removed using a press. Refer to Figure 3330. Some rods have balancing pads on each end of the connecting rod. Some have balancing bosses only on the rod cap. Others also have a balancing boss at the small end. Some manufacturers put balancing bosses on the side of the rod, near the center of gravity of the connecting rod. Typical balancing bosses can be seen in Figure 3330. Balancing is done on automatic balancing machines as the final machining operation before the rod is installed in an engine. Some connecting rods have a spit hole that bleeds some of the oil. From the Connecting Rod Journal, see Figures 3331 and 3332. On inline engines, oil is thrown up from the spit hole into the cylinder in which the rod is located. On V-type engines, it is often thrown into a cylinder in the opposite bank. The oil that is spit from the rod is aimed so that it will splash into the interior of the piston to help lubricate the piston pin. A hole similar to the spit holes may be used, called a bleed hole, to control the oil flow through the bearing. Refer to Figure 3331. Some connecting rods have spit holes to help lubricate the cylinder wall or piston pin. Refer to Figure 3332. Some engines, such as this Ford diesel, are equipped with oil squirters that spray or stream oil toward the underneath side of the piston head to cool the piston. Cast connecting rods, casting materials and processes have been improved so that they are used in most vehicle engines with high production standards. Cast connecting rods can be identified by their narrow parting line. A typical rough connecting rod casting is shown in Figure 3333. Forged connecting rods. Forged connecting rods have been used for years. They are generally used in heavy-duty and high-performance engines. Generally, the forging method produces lighter weight and stronger, but more expensive, connecting rods. Forged connecting rods can be identified by their wide parting line. Many high-performance connecting rods use a bronze bushing in the small end as shown in Figure 3334. Refer to Figure 3333. A cast connecting rod is found on many stock engines and can be identified by the thin parting line. Refer to Figure 3334. This high-performance connecting rod uses a bronze bushing in the small end of the rod and an oil hole to allow oil to reach the full floating piston pin. Powdered metal connecting rods. Many manufacturers of current model engines use powdered metal connecting rods. Powdered metal connecting rods have many advantages over conventional cast or forged rods, including precise weight control. Each rod is created using a measured amount of material so that rod balancing and, therefore, engine balancing, is now achieved without extra weighting and machining operations. Powdered metal connecting rods start as powdered metal, which includes iron, copper, carbon, and other alloying agents. This powder is then placed in a die and compacted, or forged, under a pressure of 30 to 50 tons per inch too. After the part is shaped in the die, it is taken through a sintering operation where the part is heated, without melting, to about 2000 degrees Fahrenheit, or 1093 degrees Celsius. During the sintering process, the ingredients are transformed into metallurgical bonds, giving the part strength. Machining is very limited and includes boring the small and big end and drilling the holes for the rod bearing cap retaining bolts. The big end is then fractured using a large press. The uneven parting line helps ensure a perfect match when the pieces are assembled. See Figure 3335. Connecting rod service. Removing pistons from rods. The pistons are removed from the rods using a special fixture shown in Figure 3336. Inspection: before connecting rod reconditioning, the rod should be checked for twist. See Figure 33-37. In other words, the hole at the small end and the hole at the big end of the connecting rod should be parallel. No more than a 0.002 of an inch, or 0.05 millimeters, twist is acceptable. See Figure 33-38 for the fixture used to check connecting rods for twist. If measured rod twist is excessive, some specialty shops can remove the twist by bending the rod cold. Both cast and forged rods can be straightened. However, many engine builders replace the connecting rod if it is twisted. Refer to Figure 33-35. Powdered metal connecting rods feature a fractured parting line at the big end of the rod. Refer to Figure 33-36, a press used to remove the connecting rod from the piston. Reconditioning procedure: as an engine operates, the forces go through the large end of the connecting rod. This causes the crankshaft end opening of the rod, or eye, to gradually deform. See Figure 33-39. The large eye of the connecting rod is resized during precision. Engine service. Step 1. The parting surfaces of the rod and cap are smoothed to remove all high spots before resizing. A couple of thousandths of an inch of metal is removed from the rod cap parting surface. This is done using the same grinder that is used to remove a slight amount of metal from the parting surface of main bearing caps. The amount removed from the rod and rod cap only reduces the bore size 0.003 to 0.006 of an inch, or 0.08 to 0.15 millimeters. Note: powdered metal connecting rods cannot be reconditioned using this method. Most manufacturers recommend replacing worn powdered metal connecting rods. Step 2. The cap is installed on the rod, and the nuts or cap screws are properly torqued. The hole is then bored or honed to be perfectly round and of the size and finish required to give the correct connecting rod bearing crush. Figure 33-40 shows the setup for resizing the rod on a typical hone used in engine reconditioning. Even though material is being removed at the big end of the rod, the compression ratio is changed very little. The inside of the bore at the big end should have a 60 to 90 microinch finish for proper bearing contact and heat transfer. Refer to Figure 33-37. If the rod is twisted, it causes diagonal type wear on the piston skirt. Refer to Figure 33-38. A rod alignment fixture is used to check a connecting rod for bends or twists. Refer to Figure 33-39. Rod bearing bores normally stretch from top to bottom, with most wear concentrated on the rod cap. Refer to Figure 33-40. To help ensure that the big ends are honed straight, many experts recommend placing two rods together when performing the honing operation. Piston and rod assembly. Interference fit rods: to assemble the piston and rod, the piston pin is put in one side of the piston. The small end of the connecting rod should be checked for proper size. The small eye of the connecting rod is heated before the pin is installed. See Figure 33-41. This causes the rod eye to expand so that the pin can be pushed into place with little force. The pin must be rapidly pushed into the correct center position. There is only one chance to get it in the right place because the rod will quickly seize on the pin as the rod eye is cooled by the pin. Full floating rods: full floating piston pins operate in a bushing in the small eye of the connecting rod. The bushing can be replaced. The bushing and the piston are honed to the same diameter. This allows the piston pin to slide freely through both. The full floating piston pin is held in place with a lock ring at each end of the piston pin. The lock ring expands into a small groove in the pinhole of the piston. Note: the original lock ring should always be replaced with new rings. Refer to Figure 33-41. The small end of the rod is being heated in an electric heater and the piston is positioned properly so the piston pin can be installed as soon as the rod is removed from the heater. Piston ring service. Steps: each piston ring, one at a time, should be placed backward in the groove in which it is to be run. Step 1. Check side clearance. As the piston goes rapidly up and down in the cylinder, it tosses the rings to the top and to the bottom of the ring grooves. The pounding of each ring in its groove gradually increases the piston ring side clearance. Material is worn from both the ring and the groove. Replace the piston if the ring groove is larger than factory specifications. The side clearance in the groove should be checked with a feeler gauge, as shown in Figure 33-42. Step 2. Check ring gap. After the block and cylinder bores have been reconditioned, invert the piston and push each ring into the lower quarter of the cylinder, then measure the ring gap. See Figure 33-43. The usual ring gap should be approximately 0.004 of an inch for each inch of bore diameter, 0.004 millimeters for each centimeter of bore diameter. The second ring also needs to have a similar or even larger end gap. If excessive ring gap is present, the blowby gases can enter the crankcase. Replace the rings if the gap is too large. If the gap is too narrow, use a file or hand-operated piston ring grinder to achieve the necessary ring gap. See Figure 3344. Step 3, installing the oil control ring. The oil rings are installed first. The expander spacer of the oil ring is placed in the lower ring groove. One oil ring rail is carefully placed above the expander spacer by winding it into the groove. The other rail is placed below the expander spacer. The ring should be rotated in the groove to ensure that the expander spacer ends have not overlapped. If they have, the ring must be removed and reassembled correctly. Step 4, installing the compression rings. Installing the compression rings requires the use of a piston ring expander tool that will only open the ring gap enough to slip the ring on the piston. See Figure 3345. Be careful to install the ring with the correct side up. The top of the compression ring is marked with one of the following. 1. The letter T, or the word top. See Figure 3346. Step 5, double check everything. After the rings are installed, they should be rotated in the groove to ensure that they move freely, and check to ensure that they go fully into the groove so that the ring face is flush with the surface of the piston ring lands. Usually, the rings are placed on all pistons before any pistons are installed in the cylinders. Refer to Figure 3342. The side clearance of the piston ring is checked with a feeler gauge. Refer to Figure 3343. The ring gap is measured using a feeler gauge. Refer to Figure 3344. A hand-operated piston ring end gap grinder being used to increase the end gap of a piston ring so that it is within factory specifications. Refer to Figure 3345, a typical ring expander being used to install a piston ring on a piston. Refer to Figure 3346, identification marks used to indicate the side of the piston ring to be placed toward the head of the piston. Review questions. Question 1. Why are some piston skirts tin-plated? Question 2. How does piston pin offset control piston slap? Question 3. Why are forged pistons recommended for use in high-performance engines? Question 4. What causes the piston ring groove clearance to widen in service? Question 5. How is the piston pin installed in the piston and rod assembly? Chapter Quiz. Question 1. A hyperotactic piston. A. Uses about 16% silicon. B. Is a cast piston. C. Is a forged piston. D. Both A and B. Question 2. Many aluminum piston skirts are plated with A. Tin or moly graphite. B. Lead. C. Antimony. D. Turnplate. Question 3. A cast connecting rod has A. A wide parting line. B. A narrow parting line. C. A cracked rod cap. D. High nickel content. Question 4. The purpose of casting steel struts into an aluminum piston is to A. Provide increased strength. B. Provide increased weight at the top part of the piston where it is needed for stability. C. Control thermal expansion. D. Both A and C. Question 5. Full floating piston pins are retained by A. Lock rings. B. A drilled hole with roll pin. C. An interference fit between rod and piston pin. D. An interference fit between piston and piston pin. Question 6. The space behind the ring is called A. Side clearance. B. Forward clearance. C. Back clearance. D. Piston ring clearance. Question 7. A misaligned connecting rod causes what type of engine wear? A. Cylinder taper. B. Barrel-shaped cylinders. C. Ridge wear. D. Diagonal wear on the piston skirt. Question 8. Side clearance is a measure taken between the blank and the blank. A. Piston, side skirt, cylinder wall. B. Piston pin retainer, or clip. C. Piston ring groove. D. Compression ring, oil control ring. Question 9. Piston ring gap is measured using A. Feeler gauge. B. Micrometer. C. Dial indicator. D. Either A and C. Question 10. Which type of connecting rod needs to be heated to install the piston pin? A. Forged. B. Interference fit. C. Floating. D. PM rods. End of chapter 33.